141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we hit the midweek point in another chaotic week across Scottish football. Rangers fans groups will stage a protest outside Ibrox this weekend, calling for the removal of Russell Martin and Patrick Stewart. Kelechi Iheanacho says signing for Celtic's a good opportunity to prove the doubters wrong, and Stuart Kettlewell's not spoken to the Scottish FA about that penalty, but is calling for consistency going forward. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Alex Ray and Hugh Keevans.
And what a pleasure to see Alec, my old friend. Deniston and Drumchapel reunited. We're only short of Davina McCall. It's long lost family. But with regard to the more serious matters and the proposed protest before Rangers play Hibs on Saturday evening, last week, Brendan Rodgers said it's not for him to tell the Celtic fans how to behave. It's not for me to tell the Rangers fans how to behave. But the sheer raw venom and anger surrounding the Russell Martin situation, Alec, is quite something.
I thought that was beneath him. See, before we go any further, a man of your standing in the game, feeling that you had to stoop to that level of flattery, he'll take you home anyway. He'll give you a lift.
I think you need to be sure of these things.
Don't worry about it.
Do you know when I seen him when he walked in, he was devastated that he had to make his own way here. He didn't realise I was him tonight. So no, listen, he's already
waving your car keys.
Yeah, he's bagged a lift on the way here, which is a pleasure. It's always nice to see the old boy. But listen, he's right. It's interesting times. You've got the old firm who have got both sets of fans protesting, one last weekend, one this weekend, and they're now I'll be in front of the American owners, who we believe is going to be outside Ibrox, or inside Ibrox on Saturday night. It's a big night for Russell Martin, because if he gets knocked out, you know, it's only going to intensify. And if he wins, will that change many supporters' minds, Gordon?
0141 951 1025. That is the number that you need. It's just one of those weeks. The temperature is high, and we said it last night, there's something every day that does kind of nudge it along a bit. Yeah, in large, it's like the same argument, but there's something that just freshens it up every day. And today it's now getting specific from the Rangers fan groups, who are calling for a protest. Yeah. They've got a time in mind. It's outside the front door of Ibrox on Saturday, prior to the League Cup game against Hibs. So, couple of things. What do you make of that? Is that the right decision? Would you join in something like that? Would you not join in something like that? Will that have the desired effect? All the rest of it. Give us your thoughts, please, on 0141 951 1025. Rangers fans, let's hear from you. Celtic fans, we kind of flirted with the idea last night. We don't quite know what your next step is. If it's board frustration, do those protests keep going or not? Maybe a quieter day for you, if there is such a thing. But nevertheless, some thoughts to gather, I'm sure, from the weekend. We can hear from Kelechi Iheanacho a bit later on if you want to give your assessments on him or anything else. So 0141 951 1025. Stuart Kettlewell feels like the standard's been set on that penalty. He says that's fine. He's not going to chase Willie Collum for answers. He just expects those types of penalties to be given every time going forward. And we're only a couple of days out from the League Cup quarter-final action starting as well. So as an example, if you Celtic fans wanted to phone in and wish Partick Thistle assistant Alex Ray well in the Cup for the weekend, you could do that as well, and pigs will fly outside this window.
You better believe it. But, Stuart Kettlewell is absolutely correct. The decision given in favour of Celtic last Sunday at Rugby Park, which won them the 3 points, was a scandal. Wonderfully finished by Iheanacho, and a great start to his Celtic career. But if that's a penalty, I don't know what, Alec.
Well, Stuart Kettlewell now says he wants to see them given all the time. It's interesting, the mind games we play with these things, isn't it?
That's a wee bit of sarcasm.
I think it's an interesting take and stance that he's taking, Gordon, because basically what he's saying is, rather than going back and forth to the head of refereeing, he's now expecting the type of penalties. And it'll be interesting, because I think you'll be up in arms. I went to a meeting about a year ago and they were talking about proximity, and I don't think you're going to get much closer than that from a ricochet. Which makes it very difficult for the player who is penalised to get out of the way or do anything, really. So he's played it quite smart, really, because anything going forward, he just raises his hand and goes, well, that was given a few weeks ago.
It doesn't make me feel any better. It just almost makes me despair for football a bit more. Did you see the one given for handball between Real Madrid and Marseille last night?
No.
Oh, you think we've got problems. Oh, my goodness. Anyway.
See, this is the thing about you, the difference between you and I was watching Millwall Palace.
You're a man of the people. Do you know what? I didn't even watch the
full game. I was watching Gogglebox.
I didn't even watch the full game. Someone sent me it. There you go. 01419511025. That is the number that you need. So come on down, get in touch. As we said, we are building up to the League Cup as well. Yes, still a few days out. You get the game plan, the master plan underway. You and Mark Wilson plotting the downfall of Celtic. How's it going?
But yeah, thoroughly enjoying it, Gordon. Obviously, with a session today, yesterday as well. I was talking to you. We'll have tomorrow off. And then we'll go into a little bit more detail, more structure and how we're going to go about the game plan. But Matt's on record today. I think he spoke to you a couple of days ago. It's going to be difficult, but we have to go in and, you know, try and showcase what we can do as well.
We can maybe tap into it a bit more as the show goes on. But is part of the challenge, you know, we get very obsessed with tactics and so on, and no doubt important. Is part of the challenge in a week like this just trying to build up belief?
Yeah, without doubt, Gordon. Listen, we sat in the studio a week ago and we were talking about Hearts going to Ibrox. They hadn't won for 11 years or something of that. And I was saying, listen, they are going there full of confidence, belief. Now, we're on a very good run of ourselves, albeit it's the division below. But we have to go into the game. I think it's looking as if it's going to be a full house as well. So we have to go into the game believing that we can get something from it, because otherwise there's you don't want to pitch up, you know, thinking you're already defeated. Yeah, absolutely.
Stakes will be high this weekend, Hugh. It's only Wednesday night, so we're not giving it the full pre-match preview stuff yet. But high stakes for a number of reasons. And you look at that, we're talking about the protest, obviously, at Ibrox.
Talking to Alec before we come in here, we have two born and bred Glaswegians who fully understand the Old Firm rivalry. We've lived with it all our lives, and neither of us can remember a time when there was this level of simultaneous anger, simultaneous protests, simultaneous demands that things change, whether it's at boardroom level or head coach level. So both of them, Rangers on Saturday night with people protesting outside and others not going to the game at all, Celtic on Sunday at Firhill, where, you know, the board are not in the clear. The fans are still unhappy at the lack of activity in the transfer window. I thought it transferred onto the park on Sunday. I thought the performance, and I do factor in that awful playing surface at Rugby Park, but I thought Celtic were laborious, particularly in the first half. And, you know, I'm not saying for one moment, even I, the mad tipster of Super Scoreboard, even I am not tipping Partick Thistle to win, but it could be an uncomfortable and a long afternoon for Celtic.
Okay, 01419511025. John is a Rangers fan on the line to kick us all off. Take it away, John.
Right. Sure.
Yes, sir.
Can you tell me, right, listen, I thought when I was standing in Bruges, I was back to Cologne in 1982.
Uh-huh.
Can beat 4-9 after 21 minutes. Can you actually tell me how Russell Martin got a job? Can you really tell me? Hey, he starts on the last 25 games, 1-2, drawn 6, 0-17. Can you tell me, you've been about football long enough, we were getting beat 21-9 after 21 minutes in Cologne in 1982. And yeah. I thought I was having a memory burst back when I was standing in Bruce, you.
Well, I remember...
What has he done? What garbage did he talk to him? I tell him.
Well, I remember writing at the time that he would have been the choice of the Celtic support. Not the Rangers support, the Celtic support. And at the moment, that's exactly the way it has turned out to be. The people you need to get an answer from, however, Kevin Thelwell, Patrick Stewart, and since Andrew Kavanagh will be in town on Saturday, it'd be very interesting to hear his take on how it came to be Russell Martin, because again, I've never known a manager to implode as quickly as he has done, not in the history of Rangers or any other Scottish club that I can think of. So they have to say why they appointed him. I thought they could go exotic with Davide Ancelotti, but
he's not having a great time of it either, no, by the looks of things.
But there was nothing on Russell Martin's CV to suggest that he was a Rangers manager.
I don't know. Do we now go back to arguing about whether he should have been appointed in the first place? Just quickly on it, since John raises it, Alex, I feel like someone who gets a team promoted to the English Premier League, playing a certain brand or whatever. And yes, I know it's not translated. I don't think that makes it a completely outrageous appointment. I know he got. He didn't do brilliantly once he got there, but you never really know what market you're in. It's become an easy comparison, I get it, but when Celtic appointed Ange Postecoglou, folks said, ah, but he's only done it in that country. I just don't know if there's an exact profile. It's very easy to say now, obviously.
In hindsight, yeah.
You know, but I don't know what we gain from sort of worrying about what the decision-making process was at the time.
Well, what we do know is, Gordon, that the Kevin and Patrick spent numerous meetings with Russell Martin. I think it was at 5 or 6 meetings they actually had.
I was going to say, I thought it was 7 actually.
Right,
but
okay,
I could be wrong.
For me, that's quite excessive. So they've clearly looked at what he was going to bring to the table. And if you remember what they actually said, John, they actually said at the time he was the outstanding candidate.
Yeah.
So they clearly believed in what he was selling them. Has it transpired like that? Obviously not. So now they're at the position they're in. So they've obviously employed them and they're obviously looking to see where this goes from here. There's talks that they've already approached someone, and again, it's just speculation that they're already approaching someone. It may well be that they're kicking this down the road a little bit, because it has been such a poor start for Russell Martin. It becomes difficult. The fan base, you know, if you look at the reaction on Saturday at Ibrox, it was toxic.
The worrying thing for Rangers as a football club is that, of course, Russell Martin is coming under unprecedented levels of pressure, but the flames are spreading because they're now taking in Patrick Stewart, and they'll get round to Kevin Thelwell in the
natural process. What do you make of that, John? You know, a protest apparently 4:30 Saturday outside the front door. Patrick Stewart and Russell Martin, the focus of it.
Right, can I say something? I'll tell you what, right. I had 5 season tickets on Saturday. I brought a scandal when I came home. That's 5 season tickets, seen Saturday. I'm going to a conference and then seeing the way back, I'll scan my ticket. I will not go back. Right, well, he is still in charge of my club. Man, he couldn't get even lower than taking him up Connick Hill and Loch Lomond and putting him, embarrassing him in the press. He's embarrassing my club. On the sideline, I've never, 1982, even we scored 3 goals in Cologne and get chopped off. Yeah. Schumacher kept Jim Bett out of the game. At least he put in a bad effort. That man is clueless. I don't know what they were on when they interviewed him 7 times, because it must have been hallucinating or whatever, because I'm no joking. That man, there's a team there, but no with him.
He got lucky. He got lucky, John, in Belgium, because it was 6-0, but it could very easily have been 10. And, you know, once you reach double figures, I think you are obliged to resign that night. He got very lucky there, because they stopped playing last half hour and Butland was in terrific form. But we're going round and round in circles with Russell Martin. Either somebody at Ibrox presses the trigger, or they just have to let him go on with it. You know, he lives game by game. If he loses to Hibs, I do not see any set of circumstances which could keep him in a job.
Would you have said that before Saturday as well, though?
I thought that there was a decision to be made, and Rangers decided on Monday to let it be known that he was not going. However, no business the size of Rangers can watch demonstrations outside, can watch what threatens to be a greatly reduced crowd for a very important match against a very good Hibs team. No one can sit back and look at all of that and think, well, we'll soldier on.
Interesting, Alex. Look, it's a plan. It's 4:30. It's outside the stadium. As I mentioned there, it's those who are planning it are making it quite clear that it's about Russell Martin and Patrick Stewart. Yep. So I guess you almost have to wait and see what that looks like. If those numbers are absolutely huge and it's, you know, it's overwhelming, does that change things?
Well, the one thing we do know is, Gordon, it's the first time the Americans have been here and we've actually witnessed that, so they will be privy to that. You know, it's okay sitting on the other side of the Atlantic, but if they're privy to this and they hear this and if it's substantial numbers, I think one of the key things for the weekend as well, and I think you mentioned it, there's been a lot of speculation about the actual uptake and tickets for this game and the European packages.
We had John there saying he'll scan his ticket, but he won't go in.
Yeah, but again, I still think there'll be a considerable downturn in numbers for both of these competitions, Gordon. So I think that will also factor in, because the last thing you want to say is a half-empty Ibrox, because they'll be voting with their feet. Mm-hmm.
During the takeover period, Alec, Andrew Kavanagh came here and witnessed a fan walkout. Mm-hmm. I think they're playing St Johnston on that occasion. And now he's presumably going to see vastly reduced numbers at Ibrox on Saturday. Mr Kavanagh did not get to where he is today, multi-millionaire that he is, by not being sensible in a business sense. He has to question what's going on here. Why are our supporter base like this?
That's where football's really interesting though, isn't it? Because you quite equally could say he didn't get to where he is without having absolute courage of his convictions and maybe doing unpopular things at times. You know, you could look at it that way.
The way I'd respond to your observation, Gordon, is to say that, yep, you can be in the NFL, San Francisco 49ers, and you can have a bad run. In this particular city, when the rot sets in and protests and demonstrations follow, you've got one heck of a job pulling it all back in.
I agree. I was speaking to Hugh prior to that. I says once, and I don't necessarily just mean Rangers, I mean once it's in this stage, it is extremely difficult. We were trying to, and it is slightly different, but last season, David Gray was having an absolute nightmare, but that was a club legend who got a wee bit more grace, and he's had the ability to turn that like completely round. So, but unfortunately, as Russell Martin mentioned at weekend, he wasn't the most popular, and we can clearly see that at the moment, so it will be very difficult to turn it round.
So like John's mentioned that Hugh, and I almost feel like the longer it's gone on this week, how are we on day three of analysing a trip to Loch Lomond? And I think the longer it goes on, it does possibly become a bit more unfair on Russell Martin. He clearly is looking for a change of environment. He's clearly looking to spark something. He's clearly, you know, trying to just do whatever he can, and whether it is working in the psychology, but it's just so hard in Glasgow to escape that argument about optics and the way it looks.
The problem being that fans, and John, I'm sure, be one of them, will say, "What are you doing at Loch Lomond? Get on the training field."
But that is unfair, that, isn't it? Because it's not like they've decided to swap out, you know, defending set pieces for a trip up block. That's not the way it works, is it?
But no. Then when Russell Martin says, the team I see in training Thursday and Friday is not the team I see on a Saturday, the fans will say, well, I don't pay to watch the training. I pay to watch you on a Saturday.
No, listen, I've been on many trips over. I went to whitewater rafting at the end of November with Falkirk. We were having an absolute nightmare. I have to say, it was a brilliant weekend. I don't know whether we turned it around.
Yeah, but not because of the water sports. No,
well, the water, I nearly died with hypothermia. I was at the front of the boat, and every time we kind of kept splashing down, I was getting mullered with ice cold water. But anyway, but I understand. If you think back to the old days, unfortunately, because before social media, these things happened regularly where you would go to the pub, whether you go white water rafting. I went, Mick McCarthy took us to Wee Mo's Cafe with big bacon butties and big mugs of tea, and we were having a nightmare. He said, we're no training day, we just want a different environment. So people do different things, unfortunately, because of the situation, the top of the mountain. And I don't know whether that would work these days with the modern players on the back of this run. I don't know.
Do you know I once climbed Ben Nevis and met Alex Ray halfway up?
No.
Remember
really?
That?
Yeah, but
what do you mean, really?
No, I don't remember it. No.
I've got a picture of me and you halfway up Ben Nevis, and I don't know anything more about it.
For the foundation?
I don't know, but we weren't there together, and I just saw you.
All right, okay.
We'll dig it out for after the break. 01419511025, and you can get in touch right now. I'll speak to you next.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray are here at 0141 951 1025. You can get in touch in other ways as well. Speaking of which, everybody's always listening. How's about this? Tony Watt says, Luke Macbeth is asking Alex Ray where you're taking the Thistle lads on a day out, and they're expecting you to foot the bill, he says.
I don't bother.
You get any other tricks up your sleeve? Listen, hill walking and cold plunge pools or whatever, out of the question. What would be fitting for that lot?
I've listened to a lot of watering hole the other side of Duke Street.
Oh yes,
the Bristol Bar, especially for them too.
Tony Watt, go down there, do you think so?
You get a, warm get a lovely welcome.
I'm not sure, I can't see it. We'll see what he's got to say about that. Anyway, Mark is on the line. How are you, Mark?
Good, I'm well. Good evening, gentlemen. Thank you for having me on your programme.
Pleasure, what are you thinking?
My issue is I am a Rangers supporter. Russell Martin is coming in for a lot of criticism, deservedly. Patrick Stewart is coming in for a lot of criticism, deservedly. Kevin Thelwell is coming in for some criticism, deservedly. But my concern is principally with the rather scant focus on Kevin Thelwell. This is a man who was a principal in the selection or on the selection committee of Russell Martin, so he is culpable in that respect if Martin is a failure. My concern is if Martin is dispensed with, then who is going to be making the selection for the next manager, if should that be required? It's going to be the same man and probably the same selection committee who made such an appalling mess of this selection. He is the director of football. He is watching the standard of football on the pitch. He did come out a matter of about a week ago and commend how great a coach Russell Martin was. So he has doubled down on the selection. I have zero faith in Kevin Thelwell. And also, as an additional criticism of this man, he has sanctioned, and no doubt was the driving force behind, the purchase of the boy from Everton. I think his name's Chermiti. Mm-hmm. The bloke that was £8 million with a potential rise to £10 million for a man or a player who has no track record, has a track record. I know that's a contradiction, but his track record is non-existent in my opinion. And yet they've paid a ridiculously large amount of money to Everton for this player, who he incidentally brought to Everton. So my suspicion, and it is only my opinion, that Kevin Thelwell is resolving a problem that he left at Everton, and his view is, well, this bunch of mugs will pay a lot of money and that will balance my financial books with Everton. I don't see that this man is contributing anything at all other than a negative contribution.
I was
so
with
I
you.
See him in for criticism and a lot of it.
I was with you all the way until you reached the bit about helping Everton, because that's something that we cannot prove or disprove, cannot substantiate. So that's that part of it is speculative. But you're absolutely correct, Mark, in what you say, that he is part of the selection process where Russell Martin is concerned. He did say that Russell Martin was one of the finest coaches he had ever worked with. And he did convince Rangers, I think, to go for Chiriti, whose career to date does not justify the size of the fee that was paid to bring him to Ibrox. So, as I said earlier, the flames are fanning out. Russell Martin, top of the list, Patrick Stewart, and they will get round to Kevin Thelwell. In fact, you have just got round to Kevin Thelwell. So it's all part of the story. I'm very much afraid that where Rangers are concerned, there's an almighty mess here. And the sooner Andrew Kavanagh, because he does own the club, the sooner he goes through, takes a look under the bonnet, the sooner this might resolve itself.
The only thing you would say, because look, we are going in and everything and it is open season and I get it and understand the cynicism, but give Yusuf Chermiti a chance to see if he's good or not. And he might not be, and then, I am sure we'll revisit it anyway.
But the basic premise, Gordon, They've paid money for someone whose career to date does not justify the expenditure.
But it will if he turns out to be good. And I'm not saying he is, but what I mean, I'm just probably asking for a fraction of patience that we don't tend to do too well here.
It's very early to go in on that boy, that's for sure. You know, listen, because Patrick and Kevin recruited the manager and the players, but, you know, and I don't want this to be a scattergun approach, Gordon, but the players have a responsibility as well. There's some really talented boys within that dressing room, and to go five league games without a win, that has to be addressed also. You know what I mean? We can't just keep going, it's this guy and it's that guy, because the players have a responsibility to try and get over the line as well, try and get results.
Because Mark, if we're bringing it to today's news, if you like, or today's development, is this planned protest at the weekend. It does seem to be aimed at the manager, Russell Martin, and Patrick Stewart. But so you think Kevin Thelwell's getting off with this, essentially?
Yeah, well, I don't think he's getting off with it, but the focus is on Russell Martin, absolutely correctly, and it's also on Patrick Stewart, again, correctly. I don't think Kevin Thelwell is getting off with it, but I think that in many respects, he is more culpable in his role than even Patrick Stewart is. And that's what my concern is. And may I just point about Chermiti? I absolutely accept that he may be okay. I just think that it's a huge speculation. And I absolutely take your point, Hugh, if I may call you that.
Of course.
That, and the point about the fact that it is speculation. And well, I am a bit suspicious of the whole thing, but it's absolutely... I can make the point. I absolutely understand that you guys cannot make the point. And just before I go, Hugh, you may or may not remember this, but if they do dispense with Russell Martin, I don't want Ancelotti or anybody like that. I have come on a few times over the years, and I want a German manager, and I still think that is absolutely the way forward. I would have gone for Oliver Glasner a long time ago. I know he's with, I think it's Crystal Palace.
Yes,
he's with. I know he's Austrian, but the culture and mentality is the same. And we are going to, if Russell Martin is dispensed with and we have to replace him, the replacement will come in and we'll look at a whole raft of players that have been bought by his predecessor and who culturally, and I stand by this, I just think that these players do not have the culture, they don't have the background, they don't have the style that is going to be required for this. And that we are in, I think we are in something of a troubled situation.
Well, listen, Jurgen Klopp is just making adverts for Trivago, so maybe he'd like to get back in.
Wouldn't that be quite something? To draw very loose comparisons, Hugh, though, with what we said earlier, the other side of the city are not too happy either, and almost trying to figure out who specifically to blame and what the end game is and what change looks like. It's quite easy when you're aiming at a manager. It's just quite simple. He's the guy that picks the team, he picks the players, he organises the tactics, so, you know, get him out. It is interesting that this planned protest at the weekend does seem to focus on Patrick Stewart as the CEO, Kevin Thelwell not quite in the crosshairs, if you like, of this particular one, but presumably won't escape criticism either.
And by the time Celtic get to Alex Place on Sunday, the banners will be out about Michael Nicholson, about Peter Lawwell, about Chris Mackay. So again, you have simultaneous trouble involving the hierarchy. Before we even get to the people who deal with the football, the hierarchy at Ibrox and Celtic Park now directly in the line of fire.
And again, we're probably not learnings about patronising, Alex, but some clubs have a sporting director, a director of football. They do different things. They have slightly different roles. I think Kevin Thelwell has been quoted as being a key part, obviously, of this process. He was the one that Rangers went to speak out a couple of weeks ago as well and address, you know, some of the footballing issues. So, everyone's getting it, but not as much as Russell Martin at the moment.
No, and I think he has a bigger influence on the team, Gordon, and when you see the performances, you can understand why the fans are up in arms. They don't look as if they're buying into his tactics. You know, they are really struggling at both ends of the pitch. They're struggling to create chances, and they're also struggling to keep it the back door closed. So that is a bad combination, and unless he gets that, and the line of they're doing well in training doesn't quite sit right with me. You've never won a game of football in training. So it's what they do on a Saturday that the supporters are judging you by. And it's funny because I heard one of the pundits in here the other day. I honestly don't know who it was. I was driving and he was saying, yeah, you know, the training players, and it's more now that you have more training players. In my experience over a 20-year playing time, you'd be lucky if there was one training player in your group. You know what I mean? And they never trapped up on a Saturday. Most players trap up on a Saturday, whereas the pundit of the weekend was saying it was almost the other way around.
Thank you very much to Mark. Let's bring in Scott on the other line. Take it away, Scott.
Good evening, gentlemen. How are
you? Good, good.
I was just regards to a bit of outsider looking in. I live down in Essex now. Season ticket holder at Rangers for many years. And it's just the way I see the club being run. You know, you're thinking things can't get any worse. But look back, man, is given time to me personally. Van Bronckhorst wasn't given enough time through injuries, etc. You now see, you think things are going to move to a more professional level with the American investment. Yet you're having things like Monday, where, at least for the media, the players are hiking up a hill, then they're going in doing swimming in the middle of in autumn. And surely somebody with some hindsight would have thought, maybe that's not the best thing media-wise to do this. Maybe just get the players back on the pitch.
I sometimes think, and I know that an awful lot's been made of the Connacht Hill and all the rest of it, but I sometimes think that perhaps Russell Martin doesn't really read the city and should maybe say to someone, how would this play out if I did this or that? You know, he may get away with the swimming in Southampton, but not sure about Glasgow.
Is there a case, though, that he cannot do anything right at the moment, so you might as well just do what you believe in?
Yeah, as I say, there's a raw venom and anger directed towards Russell Martin that I have never seen or heard before. Saturday inside Ibrox, I looked at the television pictures later and it was quite something. I don't know how he stands it, never mind anyone else, because, I mean, he's a normal human being, and how can you not be affected by that?
Alex, you were in the club recently, yeah. So you know the demands, you know the pressure. How do you... can you go around always worrying about how things are going to be perceived and how things are going to go down? Do you need... how do you strike that balance?
Yeah, listen, I take your point on board. I think he's probably thought to himself, I don't think he's consulted anyone, Gordon. I think he thinks that's the best for that group, just to get them away from the environment, away from the training ground. And he's thought that's a good idea. Mm. Now, it's actually, when you look at the general perception of that hike up there, it's been mocked upon. It's been, you know, from pillar to post. So it's, for me, it didn't look as if it was a good idea.
Because it's just sorry on that,
if
right?
If it turns around,
yeah,
then you go, well, it was worthwhile doing that.
Because in theory, right, you're talking about a time at Sunderland, was it? Mick McCarthy or Wolves, which one? Sorry.
I was actually at Millwall with Mick.
Oh, Millwall, sorry, right. So things aren't going well. So rather than training, he takes you to a cafe, you get a roll and bacon, a mug of tea. If people had taken pictures of it, and this was Glasgow, people would say, what on earth are they doing?
What are they doing there?
But you did feel it was right for you in that moment.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, see if the manager feels as if it's the right thing to do, then you do it. And for the group, because he's not doing it to actually... you know, to make it look but worse. Oh, I'll make this look worse. He's actually doing it because he feels as if it might turn something around, free some players up. Again, I'm looking at some of the players, the pictures that were coming out. It didn't look as if they were enjoying it. They're all freezing. But if the results turn around, then there's an opportunity for them to say, right, okay, that played out and it was beneficial. But as I said, Gordon, back in the day, even the 9-in-a-row team, they used to go, they'd have bad results and they'd go into the town and have a few refreshments. But that was then, and it's different, it's different times.
There's an almost pathological dislike of Russell Martin. It's incredible to behold. And as I say, he's a normal human being, normal human feelings. I don't know how you just go home after something like that on Saturday.
Scott, so protest at the weekend planned. Does your gut tell you that will be well attended? Do you think it will have any desired effect, or what do you think?
Well, at the end of the day, to be perfectly honest, to me, there's been a complete and utter underestimation by the people that have bought into the club. The manager, who previously spent time at the club, albeit a six-month loan, when he was captain of Norwich and they didn't want to have him playing, who come up here thinking the Scottish League's a doddle, and to be perfectly honest, he didn't cover himself in any glory at all in any game that I went to see. And I think he's thought the exact same thing, along with his sporting director. He's brought in players who, to be perfectly honest, are not suited to the Scottish game at all. There's no physicality about the team. And just the obstinacy of the fella, he turns up every single, and Alex will know, you know, through the history of the club.
Yeah.
Every single manager's get respect for the club. They turned up suited and booted, whether they like it or not. This guy turns up, he's got a jacket. Now, everybody's got their own opinion, and I'm not a fashion expert by any stretch of the imagination, but surely you look up, you know the club. Oh, but you don't know the 6 months. It's like he's got no respect for the club at all. He's got no respect for the supporters. You know, I just don't understand.
This is it, Hugh. Yeah. I mean, as if you... So, is... When things are going bad, your workwear, your hair,
yeah,
your choice of outdoor leisure activities, like, yep, the guy can't escape it. And I just wonder if that's a bit much. I don't know. And I get the tradition argument, fine, because I mean, yeah, I'm not... Alex will probably recognise more what Scott means about the traditions and so on. I don't follow a club, but I could not care less what the manager wears. But
when I was a young reporter, no Rangers player was allowed to turn up with facial hair, for example. And you had to wear a collar and tie to training. Every day, and people of Scott's age and older believe in these traditions. But here we are in 2025, different world, and Russell Martin says that's not for me.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Thank you to Scott down in Essex. Let me tell you about this before we move on. Clyde One. You could be the next winner of £553,000. It's just a couple of days away as well. If you want 100 entries into the draw, text BANK to 61025. Those texts are £10 plus your standard network rate. If you want 5 entries, you text YES to 61025. Those texts are £250 plus your standard network rate. You can call 03434 269 340. Calls are charged at a standard rate, and as you probably know, it is over 18s only. The online entry and all the rules for this Rail Network competition are at makemeawinner.co.uk. The lines close 5 p.m. on Friday, so we're getting closer. Text YES to 61025. Good luck.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray are here at 01419511025 on the phones. I told you, look, there's me and you. I'm halfway up Ben Nevis. You're halfway back down. This only works if you're on the live stream. It won't work on radio. Most interesting thing about it, apart from my hair being ridiculously windswept, is you wearing your Genk jacket, which is very much on brand for you.
It's one of the many
perks of the job.
Perks that I've blagged on the way out.
When you leave a club, do you just take some training gear with you?
Everything.
Genk here next week.
Well, honestly, the amount of Castor, that's correct, yeah, the amount of Castor gear I've got.
People watching this, don't admit to that.
No, it was just Moan initial stuff.
Sure, Partick Thistle got quite as much to offer, haven't they?
Once the kit man gave me, exactly. Says that's got to last you the full
quite
season.
Right, and don't give him any more either, that's for sure. Let's bring in David, who's a Celtic fan. Hi, David.
Hi, Gordon, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good man. What
Hi,
made
Alex.
You call?
Hi David.
Hi, Hugh.
Hello, David.
It's a question for Hugh. Hugh, have you ever seen flux that's happening at Celtic since the mid to late 90s? And I wanted to ask you a secondary question after that. Do you think the fans are overreacting? Because I personally do, and I'm a Celtic fan.
It bears very little resemblance to 1994, because in 1994, when Fergus McCann got here, the board had to be got rid of. Celtic were hours away from closure. And the combination of Fergus McCann, Dermot Desmond, Brian Dempsey, they all got it sorted out. And Celtic hadn't won a trophy for 5 years. Therefore, the circumstances now are vastly different. 13 of the last 14
quickly,
titles.
Sorry, but David's asked that David's asking since then. You know, so have you seen anything like this since? I don't think David's saying this is as serious, but if you...
No.
You're right. If you took the words right out.
So, like, since then, have you seen anything like this?
No, nothing at all. 94 was the absolute low point, and Celtic had to be saved from closing down, but, you know, there were tough years thereafter, and the millennium brought Celtic to the forefront, and they have been the dominant club in the country by a distance for the last 25 years, but... No, I've never seen anything like this going on. But again, the supporters are angry because of what took place prior to the Champions League meeting with Karat Almaty. And that seems to be their main focal point. But, you know, there's all sorts of things going on, as you'll acknowledge, David, the cowardly act that Brendan Rodgers spoke about. We're still waiting for a resolution to that matter. So there's a lot going on behind the scenes. But you're right to say that in terms of trophies and dominance, Celtic have very little to complain about.
So what's your own thoughts, David, then, specifically? What's the overreaction?
At the risk of... having all of my mates text me at the same time, and there's probably only two of them, I reckon Celtic fans are quite entitled. There's generations, or a generation, that has seen unrivalled success, right? Mm-hmm. Unrivalled success. So I think we need to probably get a little bit of perspective and understand that this is a period, it's cyclical. And Rangers will come again, right? They will. And that's good. A good Rangers makes a good Celtic, right? But my opinion is, I think we need to take a beat. I genuinely do, right? The money has not been spent. Dies in my head, I want to leave, and he can leave, and we'll get somebody else, and that's fine. But I genuinely do think that there's a level of overreaction here.
The irony, David, though, Celtic are, by Scottish standards, phenomenally wealthy. And the supporters are saying, why was nothing done prior to a Champions League playoff? The Celtic went in there,
I get that,
under strength. Okay. And I would say to you that in the year 2025, a very good Celtic team has become a rather ordinary Celtic team if Sunday's performance at Kilmarnock is anything to go by. And that's because good players have not been replaced.
The players that were there should have beaten that team, right? Do you agree?
I do.
Yeah, I agree as well. So is that on the players, or is that on the manager, or is that on the board, or is it on everyone?
That's on everyone. I mean, the two playing performances against Almaty in Glasgow and in Kazakhstan were appalling.
Poor.
Appalling. Yeah, they're beyond poor. The failure to strengthen the team was a misjudgment, and the fact of the matter is that since Kyogo left in January of 2025, highly gifted players have gone out and have not been replaced by players of like quality.
I kind of recognise quite a lot of what David says. David sounds a bit like the way I see things, Alex, about, you know, maybe just perspective and thinking about cycles and so on. And it makes me, I'll be honest, right, so I'm torn trying to get the tone right on this show, because I always want us to stick up for fans. And I think if fans don't like something that's happening at their club, then good on them. Yeah. And do what you want, and you pay, and it's yours. That's the beauty of it. It is yours. So I wouldn't call them entitled for that. However, when David talks about cycles, the bit that I'm interested in, right, is at some point Celtic won't win the league. They won't, because you can't. Do you know what I mean? Sorry to be boring about it. They just will not win it forever.
Yeah.
So what I'm fascinated by is, if this is the level of anger, frustration, or whatever now, what does that look like when the day comes, because it will, that Celtic don't win the league?
Yeah, I think you make a valid point there, Gordon. I think you mentioned there's a real... anger between the fans and the board due to the lack of investment at the right time. But that doesn't mean that the next window, or the next window, because they have this war chest that they can actually go out. It might not have been the time to actually bring someone in, because we listened to the boy at the weekend. It was like there was a period of trying to get the boy in.
Tenacity.
Yeah, and they eventually managed to get him in through the door after the game was played. So I think there's a, I think there is a because of that. The only discontent that I can remember in the last 20 years is when Rangers stopped 10 in a row. There was a wee bit of a mishmash outside the ground. But in the main, they've had such a free rein at it, they're freewheeling. But I feel as if Celtic fans feel as if because they have this war chest, they can sustain this dominance even longer. And by not investing, that's resulting in them being angry.
And I think you have to remember the fans provide a high percentage of the war chest.
Sure. Yeah, that's why I said, you know, I'm more than happy for people to express what they want.
I would say as high as 60% is fan-created.
We'll need to take a look at the accounts. I don't know, you might be right, but obviously there is a lot taken in by player sales, clearly. Tens of millions and Champions League money, tens of millions. Okay, it's food for thought. Thank you very much. It's time for us to play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
He was back with a bang last week, Alex. Yeah. Really played 1-1-1.
Yep.
Listen, it's not bad at
all.
Why
retire?
Not bad, just end on a high. Let's see if you fancy it tonight. Give us a call before 7 o'clock and your chance to beat the pundit is next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray are here. It's another night. It's another set of who's the angriest out there. Yeah. I do think the weekend has pushed Rangers back in front. It was a close close fought race at the end of last week, Hugh, and then Sunday and Celtic did their thing, but Rangers are out in front in the anger stakes at the moment. We just need to let that be.
I think the quarter who went inside the stand at Rugby Park and didn't stay out for 12 minutes. I think they were there because Rangers lost the day before.
And of course, there was no hill walking or swimming done by Celtic yet this week. So that changes things. Honestly, the thing you've got to keep up with in this part of the mad footballing world that it is. But still plenty of time for more of that fun, if you so wish. And if you want to change the subject completely and move on to something else, be our guest. We'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. Alex played once this season and won. Hugh, you're going for a 4-0.
Yes.
Have you had a 10 this season or was that last season? I can't remember.
The start of this season, I think.
Was it? Oh, just too many. He's just getting complacent there. Gary is on the line. How are you, Gary?
I'm good, thanks, Gordon. How are you?
All good here. Have you ever played this before?
No, this is the first time.
Right, good. And usual drill, play along at home, do okay?
Yep. Sometimes.
It does. The reason I've said this a few times, the reason I recognise that is because I do it with the 5K minute. Me and Mrs. Duncan live a really rock and roll lifestyle where we test each other with the questions when they get posted. Very hard this morning, I thought.
I got a 9.
What, this morning?
No, in the 5k minute when I did it live.
Oh, you did it live. Yeah. See, I think the nerves would get the better of me.
I thought it was tough
this morning.
But they made it age appropriate questions for me.
All right, okay. So nothing about like colour TV or anything like that.
No, and then the final question was a singer, and I thought it was a woman, it was a man.
Right, there you go. No, I thought they were tough this morning. Whatever producer in here writes them, I thought harsh this morning. Anyway, much easier tonight, I think. Let's toss the coin, Gary. If it is the blue side of the coin, you've messed the seats up because Alex Ray, you would associate with the blue side of the coin, but he's not getting it. The blue side of the coin is Hugh Keevans, the sort of red Partick Thistle side of the coin is Alex Ray. Let's see how we go.
Tiger Rush.
Okay, let's do it.
It's Shug. There you go.
Okay. Dearie me.
Oh, it's nothing to worry about, Gary.
Gary, for goodness sake. It's not one of the eggheads you're up against here. He's beatable. What we'll do is give him something else to listen to. And Gary, it means it's just you and I, sort of. 30 seconds where you answer as many as you can, and you're more than welcome to pass and move on if you do not know the answer, okay?
Okay, yep.
Right, 30 seconds then. Let's load up the clock, and your time starts now. Who was the last permanent Celtic manager not to win the League Cup?
Neil Lennon.
By car, which SPFL club is closest to Loch Lomond?
SPFL club is... pass.
Which Scotland defender scored his first goal in 3 years last night?
Scotland defender?
Mm-hmm.
Pass.
True or false? Inverness have credited Miley Cyrus with their recent good form.
True.
Who wears number 10 for Hearts?
Lauren Shanklin.
Okay, let's bring him back. Hugh Keevans, can you hear us? Can you hear us now, Hugh? Can you hear us now? Can you hear us now? Good.
Right. Okay. Listen to you too.
I've listened to you too, yeah.
Which one?
It's a beautiful day.
Well, the lyric, Alec, see the world in green and blue. I mean, what's this programme all about?
Was it Beautiful Day, was it? The old, remember when that was
when the Premier League, yeah.
Yeah, when it moved playing. Away from Match of the Day. Was that your
that
era,
was my era, yes.
So like that montage and then Alex Ray, red card, probably. That type of era, no?
No, it was when I got the mad era. Top 50 goals in the Premier League.
Oh, was it? Right, yeah. Okay. Who was that against again?
Bolton.
Left-footed volley.
Only made 46, well. I was disappointed.
I remember it well. Were you
very disappointed.
So when you turned on the top 50, you were able to turn it off again after five
it took
minutes.
Me 2 minutes.
Listen, who are we to mock? That's a good accolade. Right, Hugh, you ready?
I am.
A few crackers in here, by the way.
Oh, dear.
Your time starts now. Who was the last permanent Celtic manager not to win the League Cup?
Ronnie Dyla.
By car, which SPFL club is closest to Loch Lomond? Doesn't even drive.
Dumbarton.
Which Scotland defender scored his first goal in 3 years last night?
Pass.
True or false? Inverness have credited Miley Cyrus with their recent good form.
False.
Who wears number 10 for Hearts?
Pass.
Gary Naismith manages which team?
Oh dear. Brechin.
Okay. What I will reveal is it wasn't particularly high scoring, Gary. Does that surprise you to hear that?
Not at all, no.
Let's go through them and find out. A few sneaky ones in there.
Yeah.
I'll air my grievances on some of them as we go. The last permanent Celtic manager not to win the League Cup was Tony Mowbray.
Wow.
So Ronnie Dyla did win it. That was part of his double in the 2015. Neil Lennon won it. Mm-hmm. Of course, Ange Postecoglou, yeah. Brendan Rodgers won it. So none of you got it right. Gary, you should be ashamed of yourself losing the next question to a man who doesn't drive. The SPFL club.
Dear.
I liked how it was by car. So I don't know if helicopter changes or maybe by boat. I haven't thought about it, but Dumbarton is the closest to Loch Lomond. So Hugh Keevan.
I was thinking Premiership.
I know. I thought you might have, and it of course would have been St Mirren, I think, if we were talking.
Yeah, it would have been.
But okay, 1-0 to Hugh Keevan. The Scotland defender who scored last night, first time in 3 years. Aaron Hickey.
Oh, I've seen it.
Have you not seen it?
Yeah,
McTominay.
Yeah. It was a volley, wasn't it?
We've seen it. It's a brilliant absolute strike. Peach. And great to see him
against Villa. Yeah, absolutely.
We're desperate to get him back. His last goal was Bologna against Udinese in 2022.
Wow.
But great to see him back, and yeah, what absolutely. A goal it was. So it's 1-0. This is one of those questions, true or false. Inverness have credited Miley Cyrus with their recent good form. A very cruel question if it's false. Do you know what I mean? I don't know how it would be false, Hugh. So you've sort of fallen into the trap. It's just true. And Gary's got it, because head coach Scott Kelleher has been playing her song The Climb as part of their pre-match ritual. You not seen this recently?
No wonder the game's in the state it's in, Alec.
No, to be fair, they're doing great.
They're in good form. Are you familiar with the song?
No.
We'll play it on the way back home.
Right.
Can you imagine you two in the front of your car playing that? Have we got it? Surely we could educate Hugh Keevans, could we? This is a real... What a low point this is for this show. This show's got a proud broadcasting history. Yeah,
yeah. Very uplifting.
I have to say, she gets on my nerves.
Who doesn't get in your nerves?
There you are.
I don't think they do Miley Cyrus in 8-track.
Exactly. No. Imagine him trying to inspire somebody with Van Morrison or something. Who would you go for? What's the most uplifting song that you would play?
Elvis, If I Can Dream.
All right, okay, right. Because your other favourite is Leonard Cohen, isn't it?
Oh yeah,
and that's no uplifting.
I'd play Hallelujah by Leonard Cohen.
Oh, imagine but he's asleep.
If I can dream by The King, that'd be it.
We had a really disturbing conversation last night where Gordon DL is appearing at some darts event. Who knows why? You just don't ask these questions. So he was asking us for our recommendations for his walk-on song.
I gave him a recommendation.
Oh well, I gave him one as well. So let's wait and see. Who he chooses.
He'd never heard of the one that I
what
recommend.
Was yours?
Well, we all know Gordon DL, and I recommended Je T'aime.
Bit slow for a darts walk on.
No,
though,
but think of the laughter you would get.
Okay, fair enough. Right, we're distracted because it's 1-1, because Gary, your sole correct answer is Miley Cyrus related. Number 10 for Hearts. You were one out, Gary. Shanklin's 9 is Braga.
Braga, I've got him down.
Braga.
Yeah.
All we hear is Claudio Braga.
I'm fed up.
Good player, eh?
Very good. And I was, you know, I was speaking to Derek McInnes today about something for Sky that hasn't gone out yet, so I won't spoil it too much. But you forget some of these players who did so well, Alex. Yeah. So much fascination with Jamestown and all the rest of it. See the second division in Norway, I think, something like that. They get, I mean,
he settled very quickly. We've obviously mentioned certain players that have come into Rangers and Celtic, not settled as well as you would like. But this boy's hit the ground running. He looks a real find.
What you need, Hugh, to win it, Gary Naismith manages
Stenhousemuir.
Stenny.
Come on, shout.
Which means we are on to a tiebreaker. Wow, that was a low standard, Gary. I'll let you off with it because you at least get the first time nerves. Okay, your question is this. I will ask it, I'll get Hugh to write his answer down, I'll then invite you to give me your attempt, Gary. Okay?
Okay, yep.
Very simple. How many goals have been scored in the Scottish Premiership so far this season? Write it down, please, Hugh. Let's see what you've got. Okay, what are you going for, Gary?
60.
Okay. Gary's gone 60. Hugh Keevans has gone 108. So the good news is you're both quite far apart, so even my tiny brain can handle the 90. Arithmetic here. You would have gone 90, would you? The answer is 72. So Gary takes it. He was 12 out.
Well done,
Gary. You sound like a good sport, right? So I can say this, taking everything into account, because look, we've had tiebreakers before, no shame in that. We've had people get one before and go to tiebreaker, no shame in that. But given that it was the Miley Cyrus question, then the tiebreaker, that might be the ugliest Beat the Pundit win we've ever had. Seriously. So you'll always have that in your CV. Happy with that?
Exactly. Why not?
And the big question now, is it the sign ball or is it the collector's item Beat the Pundit coin?
Oh, it's got to be the coin, I suppose.
Absolutely.
I think it's the modern way. It's the in vogue choice. Gary, they all count. Well done.
Well done,
Thank
Gary.
Thank you very much, guys.
Well done,
who's your team, Gary, before we let you go?
Celtic.
And where's your mind at the moment? The last caller before the news says Celtic fans, well, some of them are entitled, others are protesting. Where are you?
No, I think I know exactly what happened. Brendan Rodgers has told them, and we only hear about things 6 months after they've happened. He's already told the board that he's leaving at the end of the season. They don't want to buy his players. He doesn't want to play their players, and they're stuck in this circle.
But is it Brendan Rodgers' players? We've heard over the piece that it's a collaborated thing with the recruitment, the profile and so forth. And even the times Brendan Rodgers has actually said that players that they've signed, I've not actually seen the boy.
Yeah.
There's a lot of players they have signed, that I don't think Brendan Rodgers had as big an input in as he would have liked.
Yeah, he's made that quite clear. The only thing though, Hugh, on the future is, look, football is a cynical business, and everyone's suspicious of everyone. And I think particularly because Celtic are very, what's the right word? I was going to say secretive. I don't know if that's right, but you know, you don't hear much.
Yeah,
that takes us back to the issue about communication and the statement and who wrote it and when it's released. And, you know, you see where I'm going with this.
Yep.
All you can do, I think, is take Brendan Rodgers at face value. I appreciate Gary's theory, but he said at length on Friday, he's here for a minimum of 3 years and he would be willing to stay if he knew things were in place for the, you know, the way he wants them. Words to that effect. Yeah. So fair enough. Look, Gary thinks that's not the case and he's told him he's leaving. Brendan Rodgers says that's not the case.
The scenario that Gary paints there is a frightening one, I think, for Celtic, because you've got a manager who is defying the board, a board who are defying the manager. That's not a happy place, not a good environment. And again, you know, Dermot Desmond, he has been wonderful for Celtic, but surely he has to come and sort this out. This is not a good way to be moving on.
Okay, let's thank Gary, and what a wonderful story he's got to tell. He went on, tried to show off his football knowledge. All he got was a Miley Cyrus answer, but he's won, and that's the important thing. So the coin's on its way to Newton Mearns. Well done to Gary on the line. Let's bring in John, who's on the other line. Hi, John.
Hi, guys. Hi, Hugh, Alex,
hi,
and
John.
Gordon.
Hello.
Hugh, actually, mostly, you're obviously, I seen you put a wee about a couple of weeks ago about Peter Lowell. Now, I'm maybe one of the Celtic fans that actually, I think Peter Lowell gets a raw deal at times. To me, you're just talking about Dermot Desmond there. He's done great for the club, but in my opinion, he gets away scot-free with a lot of the Celtic fans. He seems to sit in the background and let things go on. In my personal opinion, don't be wrong, I know what you've got to wish for, right? I don't want to see what happened to Rangers in 2012, but this guy just seems to sit and let everything go on. To me, he's more interested in Man United than he is in Celtic. And it's to me that Brendan Rodgers left the last time because of the inactivity in the transfer market. He should have done the way he done it. But that's personal opinion. And he's been promised again money with the board, and they've not done it again. So to me, Dermot Desmond's the one that should sort this out instead of letting everybody else take the flak.
I agree with you entirely. I think Dermot, he's always referred to as an absentee landlord, and he doesn't come here very often. And it was normally in Champions League nights, and there are none of those to come. But you can't have this situation where the manager is being briefed against in a newspaper, where the manager then comes out and says that it was a cowardly act and whoever did it should resign. And then you get supporters staging demonstrations at Rugby Park. You know, Dermot Desmond has been wonderful for Celtic. He has, for 31 years, put money into Celtic, and they've been wildly successful. But there's a lot of things going on at the moment that are deeply unsatisfactory. And I don't think it would be beyond imagination for Dermot Desmond to come here and take a lead and speak to the fans.
But then his role is not to run the club day to day. You know, he's the majority shareholder. What is it, 34-ish%?
Yeah.
34-35%. Michael Nicholson's his CEO. That's the way the business should operate. He should be running the day-to-day operations. There's then a wider debate about, do Celtic need a more modern football structure where you do have a sporting director, yep, or a director of football who fronts up, for want of a better expression, the way Kevin Thelwell did a couple of weeks ago. So I think what we're seeing, though, Hugh, surely, is the problem is people on the outside, John, me, you, Alex, we don't actually know specifically who is doing what and who's responsible for what. And therefore, that's how these theories will all come out. Because John's saying, well, you know, in his opinion, Dermot Desmond's the problem, but he might not be. And similarly, John's saying, I think some Celtic fans need to give Peter Lowell some slack. I've said before on here, he at the moment, he's the chairman of the board. He's not involved in running the day-to-day operations at the club. He's not involved in transfers, but nobody believes you when you say that, because I get it, there's the long-term association with Peter Lowell and the cynicism that comes with that. So it just feels like a bit of a web of confusion for people. It's all just theories about who's responsible for what.
Yeah, for a web of confusion, read mess. You know, those who are responsible for the day-to-day running of the club are not doing the job to the satisfaction of those who pay to go and watch the club.
But you see what I mean, though? Because, like, if John's saying, I think Dermot Desmond should take more blame and people should lay off Peter Lowell, that's just then they kind of... You could say that the other way around.
Peter Lowell...
Because if you don't know who's doing what...
Peter Lowell is a convenient cliche for Celtic supporters, because it would appear to me, looking in from the outside, that Peter Lowell is the titular head of the club. He's called the chairman, but he has nothing to do with player recruitment and very little else, it would appear. But again, like Rangers, you have a supporter base who are deeply unhappy at the way the club is being run. And you know, eventually Andrew Cabinet is going to have to break cover and speak to the Rangers fans if Russell Martin remains in office. And Celtic's AGM, somebody's going to have to say something, because people are unhappy at the way the club is being run. We had a caller, if you remember, Gordon, 2 weeks ago, who said he had £50,000 worth of shares in Celtic and he wasn't going back. You have to address that kind of feeling within the support.
But then, as you alluded to, fine, if we can't even establish who does what, who's responsible for what, you've got the added complication at the moment of who's the coward.
Yeah. I don't see how that one goes away, because the manager's asking for a resignation, and the manager, by this time, surely knows, But at a club the size of Celtic, for someone to brief against the manager by going to a daily newspaper, at a club the size of Celtic, you have to get to the bottom of that.
Is Partick Thistle like this? Is there this level of politics going on?
No, no, but listen...
You and Giaconelli's cafe around the corner.
Hugh, see that an interest. You made an interesting point there about directors of clubs briefing journalists. Has that not really been going on for a long time?
Yeah, but Ali, I think you can brief by saying the stat or the other about football matters. But this person briefed against the manager of the club, a very successful manager of Celtic, and said that he was trying to engineer his way out of the club. That's a dramatic allegation. Does it have any substantiation? Or Brendan Rodgers says there is no truth in it whatsoever and the story was inaccurate. I don't know how you sweep that under a carpet.
Thank you, John. We'll be back for plenty more when we return.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray are in the building. It's 0141 951 1025. Why not give us a call? Send us a tweet. Get in touch. Let us know what you're up to. Let us know what you're thinking. It's been an interesting debate so far with plenty of ground covered, but I'm sure we could move on to other topics if you desire. I've got an interesting teaser for you. Thanks to James in Port Glasgow for this.
Miley Cyrus isn't in it, is she?
She is not. I can't believe we played Miley Cyrus the Prime on Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Get old, this one.
So you hadn't heard that story, you know, Inverness, apparently Scott Kelleher, it's part of their pre-match routine and they play it and it, I don't know, it must get them.
I played a song at an away ground earlier on the season, then we went back because I don't get near the jukebox.
Obviously.
And we won both of them.
Oh, she's taking the credit for it.
Yeah.
Are you allowed to tell us what song? No. Is it advisable that you don't? Or no one of your. I was going to say. Seen his playlist.
It's top drawer. You'll love it.
I would not bother with that. I'd like to know the backstory, if there's an inspiration or if this is supposed to be relevant to something or if it's just because James is his name. So he just says, last season, six players scored four league goals for top six sides. And their names start with a J. I mean, how specific is this? I don't mind it because it's a bit of fun, nothing more. But James says, last season, six players, four league goals or more. Oh no, it is four league goals for top six sides. And their names start with J.
This programme's going bizarre.
But why not? So you know the top six from last season. Just work your way through it.
I know it's not James Forrest. He's only got one goal.
Right, see? You're getting into the swing of things now.
Jota.
There you go.
What?
Jota.
What? Easy.
Easy as that. I mean, I don't know what else to say.
I'm trying to think.
That might be your last. No, actually.
You're looking at the answers there.
Yeah, there's another one that's shooty in, as they would say. Of the J's who are likely to have scored in the Scottish Premiership last season.
Is it surnames?
No, it could be first name. In fact, it is first names because their name begins with, yeah.
Right, okay.
Easy. This is an easy one, trust me. I know I've got the answer.
It's got to be a James someone. Tavernier?
There you go. See, make it easy work of this. With the question being so random, we maybe won't dwell on it for too long, but full time, it's appreciated nevertheless. Full time at Clyde1.com to send your emails. And if anyone's got any appetite left for a Barney about handballs, I suppose we could do that because we've still not heard from Stuart Kettlewell yet, so we will in the not too distant future. But Billy's on the line first, so let's do that. Billy, on you go.
Hi Gordon, how are you doing?
Good, Billy, what are you thinking?
It's about Rangers, obviously. I think our season is over. Obviously with the result for the other day there, the Hearts 1-2-0, and I can't see us doing anything this. I honestly think Hibs are going to come to Ibrox and do the same business. I just can't see why Rangers board don't see this happening. There's fans in that stadium and we can see it happening week in and week out. And I just can't realise why.
See, officially though, Billy, the season it can't, like, we can speculate obviously about the league, but the season can't be over when you're still in two cups and in Europe, can it?
Well, after Saturday, yeah.
No, that's what I mean. Like, Saturday was bad and damaging, but only to the
next Saturday is crucial. Massive, because if Hibs do eliminate Rangers from the Premier Sports Cup, then the fans will say there's only the Scottish Cup left to play for, because I do think it would be a major embarrassment for Celtic and for Hearts to have been given a 9-point start over Rangers. If Rangers won the league, it would be a major embarrassment for Celtic and Hearts. So the Hibs game is crucial, and if Rangers do lose that, then I can only imagine what follows. There will be the most enormous outpouring of displeasure and disgust, and Andrew Kavanagh will be very lucky to make it to Glasgow Airport to get the plane back to California, because the fans will demand that he stay and sort out what would be a massive problem, and how Russell Martin would survive a defeat from Hibs, I do not know.
I'm trying to think about kind of points gaps and what they mean, Alex. Now, what you would say is, clearly right now there's no sign of anything at all, really, from Rangers, so I respect that. But Halloween, was it, when Aberdeen beat Rangers last season to go 10 points clear of them with 10 games gone? So, and all of it, the only reason I mention it is just how quickly that changed, and how quickly that can change for whatever reason. So if it's Hearts, even if we leave Celtic out of it for a moment, Hearts are 9 points ahead of Rangers after 5 games, and I know that's terrible, right, I get that, but league seasons are just so long. So to say that it's all over right now, what do you think?
Well, it is very premature. I don't think we would ever come up with a statement and say the league's finished after 5 games in any season that I can remember. However, I think the evidence in which you're seeing on a weekly basis, Gordon, as I said earlier on the programme, they don't seem to be creating a lot, Rangers, and defensively they seem to be at 6 and 7. So from that point of view, I think people are looking at that and saying that they don't see any signs or shoots of improvement that would actually change their mind. Saturday's massive for them, because ultimately if they get knocked out of the League Cup, it would leave the Scottish Cup. Now, you obviously mentioned the Europa Cup as well, but again, when you're looking at the evidence that you're seeing on the pitch, it doesn't suggest to me that you're going to get all the way to the final and win that one. So it would leave the Scottish Cup. So Saturday is absolutely massive, just to, if anything, to keep Rangers in the hunt for two domestic cups.
When 49ers Enterprises took over Rangers, the fans, like Billy, thought this was the dawn. This was not a false dawn. This was the dawn of a new era. This was money coming into the club, different ideas, and it has turned out to be an unmitigated disaster so far. And I've never known a time when supporters of Rangers were in such a state of absolute despair. They have no hope.
Yeah.
And they believe there is no hope unless Russell Martin is removed.
How much do you fear Hearts and others being the real deal as well, Billy? Because that's now the issue. After 5 games, you're trying to catch, well, numerous teams above you, but particularly Hearts and Celtic.
Hearts, honestly, after being at the stadium on Saturday, Hearts are an absolute dream team. And I'm fearing that Rangers can't even finish under Russell Martin at the present moment. Obviously, I can't see us finishing top six.
That's maybe a tough call, that one, but
no. I'm sorry.
See, I think Russell Martin will be replaced. If he loses on Saturday, I'm finding it very difficult to conceive of a way he keeps his job. And you know that if he's replaced, you get someone in and top six will be a certainty, not a possibility.
I mean, Alex, I'm sure we'll build up specifically to the game in a bit more detail the closer we get to it, and it is a fascinating one, and what we've seen from Hibs is a lot to like. We've definitely seen what they're capable of. And I like that people are doing this, because we're focused, I think, on the positives of Hibs, and you know how good they looked in Europe and some of the good players they've got. For all Rangers' dreadful start to the season and 4 points, yeah. Hibs have got six. Yeah, you know, Hibs haven't started. They're not winning a lot of games at the start.
They still
of the
have
season.
A game in hand, though, don't they?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So no, listen. I think Billy was saying, obviously, I don't think Rangers will finish in the top six. I would go against that. I think, you know, when you look at the actual league table, they have to get something going at some stage. When that happens, I don't know, but I would be confident they'll get in the top six. But the way Hearts are playing, the way Celtic are grinding out results as well, even though their level seems to have dipped a little bit, they're grinding out results. And that's a mentality as well, Gordon, because you manage to get over the line, and that's the reason why they do it time after time.
As a long-standing Rangers watcher, Alec, could you see Russell Martin survive a defeat on Saturday?
I think it would be difficult, Hugh, and it's partly down to, because you're looking at the fans, I think, again, there's going to be a protest prior to the match. If it continues in the same vein, you know, after five league games, out of the first cup, out of the Champions League as well, albeit that was a big ask against a good Bruges team, then I'm looking at that, and things, people are just looking for shoots of improvement, Hugh. And if you're knocked out of the cup, as I said earlier on, I feel as if it just leaves the Scottish Cup.
Billy, the kind of question for tonight, because of you're looking for these stories moving on a bit, is about the protest at the weekend and the plans for it. Is that something you think is right, appropriate, will work?
I'll be turning up at Ibrox on Saturday, and I'll be going into the ground and I'll support my team. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair, and that's similar kind of debate about Celtic here, that people can kind of do what they want.
Absolutely. We haven't come to the stage where people are told what they must do. I mean, Billy will exercise his free will, and that is the correct thing to do.
Thank you very much to Billy on that front. What about these teasers? The names beginning with J, who scored four goals in the Premiership for top six sides last season. James Tavernier, Jota.
I was thinking about the. Was Majorski wasn't there last year, was he?
His name Bojan.
No, but I was thinking about his. Yeah, nope. I'm thinking about the teams players that finished in the
top six. So Rangers, Hibs, Hearts. Celtic, St Mirren. No, Hearts didn't remember. So Rangers, Celtic, Hibs, St Mirren, Dundee United.
So I'm trying to think of the St Mirren.
Okay, we'll give you some thinking time. We'll get the answers, and we'll hear from Stuart Kettlewell on that handball. He's spoken again. We'll hear him next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We're into the final part already. Another quick show in the company tonight of Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray. A very random full-time teaser, but I don't mind it, from James in Port Glasgow. Last season, six players, four league goals in the top six. Their names start with the letter J, maybe because he has one as well. James Tavernier, you got Jota.
Jimmy McGrath.
Well done.
I'm going to go for a wee Junior Hoylett.
Well done. Do you have him at
Reading
when you were there?
Yeah, but a wee player.
Two to get. We'll try and get them before the end. And full-time at Clyde1.com if you want to send your questions in. Let's hear from Stuart Kettlewell. He was always going to be good value this week when the press went down to revisit the handball at the weekend. This is what he had to say.
I've probably not done it a lot of times. My conclusion in the whole thing, hopefully to try and wrap it up, was that the VAR official seen the incident, told the referee to come over to the screen. The referee seen the incident several times and deemed it a penalty. There was a very prompt statement after it, which feels a wee bit unusual, because I think there's a lot of games that probably wouldn't be the case. I could be wrong in that, and that almost seemed to double down on it being the correct decision. I think I'd be speaking for the vast majority of people within Scottish football and tell you we don't want to see them given as penalties, but now I believe we've set a standard in what's going to be a penalty, so I would envisage that those types of scenarios, they will now be given as penalties.
The equivalent of Stuart Kettlewell saying, I dare you to give another penalty as dubious as that one. He clearly can't sleep at night, he can't get it out of his mind, but he's quite right. It was a ridiculous award. Very, very fortunate where Celtic were concerned. In more ways than one, it got them 3 points, and it got Iheanacho a terrific start to his Celtic career.
If this is a way forward, Gordon, I predict it's going to be carnage. Yeah. Because, listen, Willie's been open, transparent, he likes to put his point across. And the message last year was that we're trying to take him away for this situation, and it seems as if it's been revisited. So mm-hmm. he's actually been quite cute here and saying, if this is a way forward, yeah. let's see how it plays out.
Is that what it is? Ultimately, it is cute, and then because he almost knows there will be one at some point, and then you can say, see, look how hard done
the
by
consistency. I think that's all people look for is consistency.
Sure, but then you would view it, you can always view that the other way and say, if everybody's saying that that shouldn't be a penalty, well, don't give the next one then. And I know that's harsh on Kilmarnock, right? And then they can feel aggrieved. But if we're all saying we don't want to see them as penalties, what we're trying to do then? We're trying to cut off our noses to spite our face and say, well, they better all be given between now and the end of the season.
I didn't think Rangers actually made the as much as they could have done over the Shankland handball.
It's the circumstances that though, isn't it? That's the thing. If Rangers are flying high, they've just got bigger fish to fry. I think that's the problem.
But
you don't know what phone calls went on in the background.
But that was as blatant as you could get.
I think that'll be the reason for that. Russell Martin said that he thought we're hard done by, but the overall feeling over Rangers was bigger. I think you're right. I think, and I said this the other night, the biggest issue here, I don't think this is. The biggest issue is the law. And I mentioned it last night. Look at Real Madrid and Marseille. It's the top level. The top level. With the best refs and the biggest stage and the most money and the biggest cameras. See, if you show that Kilmarnock penalty around UEFA, I genuinely don't think they'll think it's a big mistake. They won't. But you mentioned it. Are we trying to move away from it or not? Are we trying to say that we've got a high bar in this country? Are we trying to say that football understanding it's something, as you say, well, he's very open about it and he said that before? Because just look at the reaction. Most of us just don't want to see penalties for that. So I think it depends what you want out of it. It will, and I think I was, maybe I'm splitting hairs a bit. Andy and I kind of locked horns over this. I think whilst it hits a ball with the hands where it is, it's never going to go down as one of those like official howlers. Does that make sense? Yeah. One where you're having to come out and give the big, we're so sorry, this was a, you know, it's not like protocol was breached. It's they're not going to be a big scandal over it other than, well, hold on a minute though, is that the road we want to go down? That's more important.
What I'm trying to get my head around is that the referee, John Beaton, is asked to go to the monitor. Therefore, somebody up in the VAR room said, John, that's a penalty. And he's gone and he's agreed.
And that's kind of what I mean. It doesn't mean I want people to agree. The refs are there for us to disagree with them. If we don't, we'll not have much of a show. But they clearly weren't in any doubt, really, were they?
And then, in the midst of Stuart Kettlewell's sleep deprivation, he's now wondering why they issued a statement so soon afterwards. But I do not believe it was a legitimate penalty. But
because where are you on this? You with Stuart Kettlewell, and do you now, if we're all very honourable and we want consistency, you want to see them given all season, or do you not?
I don't want to see them. No. But
across the board, I don't want to see that.
But I think Stuart Kettlewell is saying, "I'll be watching. I'll be watching you to see if a penalty of that type is given again."
I've yet to see someone. Listen, I know we live in the west coast of Scotland, and in social media, and there's the banter years where you're kind of mocking people. Mm-hmm. Across the board, I have not seen anyone that's actually going, that's a penalty. Yeah, if you look at the Sky stuff down south, mm-hmm. and you can take that as you like.
Sure.
You look at the referees, the ex-referees are having the debate on it as well. I've yet to see someone go, this is the way we want to go forward with this, with that proximity and a deflection.
To be fair, we had Celtic fans on the phone saying, don't want that as a
penalty.
Although
I looked at the crowd behind the goal, and to a man, woman and child, they all screamed. Yeah. But I think fans believe that if the ball hits your hand under any circumstances, no matter how close your hand is to your body or if it's 2 feet away from your body, if it hits your hand, fans believe it's a penalty.
And that's the problem. We were trying to get away from that.
For me, it's the deflection
of the teammate.
The proximity. It's a couple of feet at best. Mm-hmm. It just ricochets onto his arm. And I'm thinking, I thought we were trying to get away from, you know, if it's ricochets from me to you, Gordon, which is, 6-8 feet, then all of a sudden you could maybe adjust your body, but it's so close.
Yeah.
And you get in for the original block.
I think that will be the concern's the right word. If you're trying to then police this and move forward and please everyone, that's probably the question that the refereeing department will be asking itself. Okay, where do we draw the line then? Because if you're saying, because they've been clear about it, there's been a bit of misunderstanding. It's not like every deflection off a teammate means it's not a penalty. Because as you say, if you and I are 10 feet apart, it hits you, comes over to me, I've got my two hands up in the air and I'm waving at somebody in the crowd, that's a penalty.
Absolutely.
So where's the line drawn? That because that's always what you've got to do, because you've got to imagine the next incident.
Well, see, the thing is, would that not be subjective? Because every referee will probably go, oh,
yeah.
But see, when you're talking about a couple of feet of that, because mm-hmm. both of them are going to block
they're
the
right
same
next
ball
to each other, yeah.
So they're that close. Then I think that's the threshold. Mm-hmm. So then you're going, well, does he have time to react depending on the distance where the contact takes place?
Because it's almost like what they expect. It feels like then, based on this decision and based on the explanations for it and the way the rules are, I keep getting them mixed up. Who does it hit? Who does it deflect off? It's Mayo's hands, isn't it? Up off Robbie Deas and onto Lewis Mayo. It feels like the expectation on Lewis Mayo is don't try and block that shot with your hands up. Do you see what I mean? Because he did. Now, it hit Robbie Deas first. It's almost like...
But the ball's coming from that angle.
I know.
Straight
I know.
Down
Listen,
towards...
No, no. I'm not saying I agree with that, but yeah. I think that's ultimately what it is. I think that's why it's given. So it feels really unfair to ask you to forget Robbie Deas for a minute, right, because it hits him. But I guess the decision is, well, Lewis Mayo has thrown himself at a ball with his hands in the air to try and block it. And can you ask players to not do that? Is that actually natural in that moment? Because you might say it is, probably.
But when he goes to the two of them go and block it, he's kind of side on, isn't he? So then when it blocks off of the first one to then hit the player who it then hits, mm-hmm. he's kind of side on. So it hits him flush up at this area. So I think because of the movement. No, it's a different kettle of fish if he hits it straight down the line and he's doing that and he blocks
yeah,
it.
I think most people would accept that,
absolutely.
Wouldn't
they? Absolutely. It's just the ricochet at the crossbox. Yeah. I mean, I just can't see how he can do anything.
And then, yeah, because I think most people feel like we're making too much of where you draw the line. Because that just do that then. Look, if it cannons off a teammate and hits you, then no, you just don't give them. I think most would get on board with that, would they?
If you bring in VAR and VAR says that's a penalty and the referee goes over and agrees with VAR, what do you do?
We argue about it on here for weeks on end. The joys. Anyway, I'm sure, listen, watch Champions League tonight. There'll be some mad handballs and they'll be none the wiser as to where we're going with it. I think we could pretty much knock it on the head there. So what did you say? Day off for Partick Thistle tomorrow, then the master
yes.
plan restarts
yeah,
on Friday?
Friday, yes.
Looking forward
yeah,
to it?
Yeah, very much so. Listen, the boys have done great to get to this position. You know, it's going to be a big ask in terms of coming up against a very good Celtic team, you know, with the resources and so forth, but really look forward to it.
And it might surprise people because, look, we see Partick Thistle as one of our sort of bigger clubs and within a certain bracket, and, you know, it's only the Championship. We're not talking League Two or Lowland League here, but this is properly financial. Like, Thistle needed a bit of this, didn't they? They needed this.
Yeah, absolutely. And the money will go a long way, Gordon, behind the scenes. So, greatly appreciated. And that was obviously Mark. We did the team talk as well, and he highlighted that money would help us going forward.
Surely, man, of your standing, you're about to get a lift home off the assistant manager of Partick Thistle. You used to weekly get a lift home off the manager.
Yeah.
Just the way, you know, you're standing in the game, you've got to be going to that, surely, Sunday.
If the manager of Partick Thistle gets me the tickets he told me to get.
He was desperate to get that in.
If you're listening, give us a call. Right, quickly then, we're looking for two more Jays who scored four goals for top six sides last season. James Tavernier, Jamie McGrath, Junior Hoylett, Jota.
Is it Miley's brother Jimmy Cyrus?
It is not. You get one St Mirren, one Hibs.
We're struggling.
Hibs midfielder, Scottish, sort of, kind of, at times plays off the front, kind of maybe arrives in the box, quite good in the air. That's where they'll have got the headers, I would imagine.
Campbell?
Josh Campbell. Well done. Okay.
Go on, Ian.
Get in there.
And the St Mirren one, I'll pull back the curtain, but at the break you're going, oh, there's a St Mirren striker and it's not a Lasagna and it's not Mandron. Jonah Ayunga.
Oh, stop it.
There we go. Thank you very much. As you can hear, the clock is ticking, so thank you to Alex Ray and to Hugh Keevans by a mile, though they won't be offended by me saying it. The biggest thanks is for you, for your calls, your tweets, those who listen. If you want to do it that way, don't forget you can catch up wherever you get your podcast. For those who watch on YouTube, we thank you for your continued support on that front. Please don't forget to subscribe to the YouTube channel. Hugh Keevans doesn't really know what that means, but
no.
Do it anyway and we'll explain it to him at the weekend. For now though, that's us. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday.